This is Neil Whiteside.
And I have a pair of guests in the studio for my next session this afternoon. It's great to welcome back from Cambridge Carbon Footprint, Alana Sinclair. Hello, Alana.
Hello.
And we've also got a colleague of yours, Julie Kovadek. I'm sure I've pronounced that wrong. So you
Hello.
what's it really?
Julie Kovadek.
Oh, you see, we've got Virginie here, is Virginie Chante, and she could have come in and done that one for you. Could have done the intro for you. She could have been your warm-up act. And you're from Amaella Lingerie, is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, exactly. I got that name right,
yes,
at least.
Very good.
Right. Okay, you're both in today because you've got a sustainable fashion festival coming up. But just remind us, first of all, Alana, what it is that Cambridge Carbon Footprint does.
Yep, so we are a tiny local, as it says in the name, climate change charity, and we really focus on helping people to live more sustainably in their everyday lives. So what we can do to kind of lead the way for the major changes that we need to see in order to prevent climate change.
And we had this discussion last time, you're in, that when someone turns around and says, oh, by the way, you've got 12 years, and when that's a group of notable scientists, people are finally starting to take notice, are they, or...?
Definitely. There's definitely, I think, a big change in the air. People are taking it more seriously. I mean, there's the Extinction Rebellion protests happening down in London this week as well. So I definitely think people are sitting up and taking notice. And I think, you know, it's important that people are really taking those serious actions. But I think... more important than that is just people taking action in whatever way makes sense to them. So for some people that might be, you know, changing something about their lifestyle, which is obviously what we do. Mm-hmm. For other people it will be pushing business and pushing government for changes in policy and in the way that things are made and produced. So there's a range of actions, I think, and that's the most important thing, that whatever, if you think that this is an important issue, if that report has made you sit up and take notice, is to just do something, whatever it is that makes sense to you.
Yes, now it could be putting solar panels on
totally.
The roof of your house, down
Stopping.
To just not using single-use plastic cups.
Exactly. Eating less meat is a big one. Yeah, it could be just insulating your home better or you know, putting up a heavy pair of curtains. There's a whole range of actions.
And it's organisations like you that kind of join the dots, because you'll get energy companies doing things and you'll get other people doing things. But actually what we need is organisations like you in the middle going, look, there's all these things you can do.
Yeah, yep. And we want to help people identify what's right for them. You know, there is no one pathway to sustainability. It's got to be something which is happening, you know, in many different places, sort of across the board, and there's no one blueprint for people to live sustainably in their everyday life. You know, there's people have got to find the way forward that makes most sense to them, and we're there to help.
I find it fascinating that we're finally waking up to this, because it was Prince Charles's 70th birthday yesterday, and on another radio station they were doing clips of Prince Charles back over the years, and when he was 20 he was warning about polluting the oceans and plastic, and nobody listened. And you think, goodness me, we're 50 years on and we're finally starting to go,
yeah.
Crazy.
But that's it. Cultural change does take time. But I think it feels as though we are sort of starting to hit that critical mass. You know, Blue Planet and plastics has been, I think, a game changer, really. And now with the IPCC report warning of, you know, only having 12 years to take action, it feels like the momentum is building.
And it's a shame that someone like Prince Charles wasn't listened to back in the day, but just looking at the newspapers over the past few weeks, we are starting to see a little bit of the royal family not leading from the front. They're not, you know, wrapping themselves in plastic bags and walking around, but they are. Meghan Markle was out in Australia. She was using shoes made from recycled bottles, which has got to be a good thing, isn't it, if we got members? And you were saying off air that the Duchess of Cambridge has been doing stuff.
Yeah, so she's quite notable in that she, I mean, it doesn't sound notable to you or I, but she's notable for re-wearing outfits, which in terms of red carpet culture is, you know, goes against the grain. It's not the norm. So yeah, it's good to see people like that out there leading the way.
Okay, well, let's talk about fashion then. As you can see, I'm the epitome of sartorial elegance. So talk me through, what's this event on Saturday and what's going to be going on?
Yep, so it's 11 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. at St Barnabas Church on Mill Road. It's the Cambridge Sustainable Fashion Festival. And it's an all-day event featuring all sorts of different things that you can get involved in. We've got style workshops. We have a cafe being run by the Ladybirds WI. We've got Kettles Yard there running a kind of creative installation, drop-in art workshop. And we've got a pop-up market, which has got, I think, 25 to 30 different brands featuring new, vintage fashion. We've got a clothes swap happening at 11 a.m. in the morning. We've got a repair cafe, sewing repair cafe and Skillshare in the afternoon. And you can come along and create your own upcycled Christmas jumper as well.
Oh, my goodness.
Starting to feel festive. So there's something for everyone, really.
Okay.
Yeah, bits and pieces happening all across the day.
Okay, so let's turn our attention now to Julie and your company, Amaella. So tell us about that and where. How do you fit under the sustainable fashion bracket? What is it about your company that does that fits that bill?
So we started the company 3 years ago in Cambridge with my business partner, Lara, and the whole ethos of the company is that we're using only certified organic cotton for our lingerie and nightwear. So it's a fiber which is good for the skin, but also for the planet and the makers, because it's certified organic, and cotton is very breathable for the skin. And we make sure that we work with factories and suppliers which are respecting strict social criteria. So we make sure we visit the factories and not only the final manufacturers, but all the parts involved during the supply chain. So the supplier of the elastics, of the packaging, of the fabric. The whole point of the brand is that we don't want to create more pollution or more waste or more damage for the makers. So we also, this year, we introduced a new business model, and we are step-by-step pivoting to an on-demand model, which means that we pull orders together until reaching the critical mass. And once we're sure that the product is really wanted and needed, we launch the production. So we've just started this over the summer, and we've just been delivered from our first on-demand production.
That sounds excellent. Because in the past, you'd exactly have done the opposite, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Say, well, tell you what, we make 20,000 of these, then you find they don't sell for some reason, and you have to wind up digging a big hole in the ground or recycling some other way. So as a business, does that enable you to control your costs? Because as soon as in the old days, and I think this might be changing now, as soon as you started to use words like organic or recyclable, people instantly think that's just is another excuse for expensive. Has it enabled you to control your costs and things?
It helps us to control the cost, but of course, recycle and organic materials are at the moment more expensive than other alternatives. But this is why we explain also how we explain the final price to the customer. It adds on with the.
It's a little bit on top, but at least you're doing your bit.
Yeah, when you buy it, you know what you get, and you are respecting the makers, and you are buying some good materials.
And I guess in a market like Cambridge, people buy into that, don't they? I can imagine Cambridge people quite like this whole idea.
Yeah, I've seen the demand evolving in a very positive way in Cambridge, and not only in Cambridge. I was last week in Paris with other ethical, sustainable fashion brands doing a pop-up, and people are more and more conscious about their consumption, and they want to know more about what is behind the brand and behind the clothes they buy.
And as you grow as a business, how easy is it going to be to make this more and more sustainable, use more and more stuff, or are you going to have to find that production means you've got to outsource or something like that? Is it a trick to keep it all in balance?
Well, it's a process, and it's difficult to get everything perfect at first, but we are making sure we know the people we're working with, and actually there is no unknown outsourcing, because this is the main problem in the fashion industry, and I've been working for different brands before starting Amaella, and the problem is there is a lack of transparency and traceability, because sometimes big brands don't know that their supplier has so much pressure to deliver on time and to respect the price that they start to outsource to sweatshop, and this is where when the problems happen.
Sure. Now, your stuff is made in Portugal, is that right? Is that your
way? Yes.
And is Portugal similarly balanced? I heard good things about them energy-wise, and Spain and Portugal, I've heard very good reports about them. Are they equally conscious of sustainability down there?
Yeah, more and more, but it also depends on what the brand is asking. So in our case, we ask a lot of questions about the wages, the hours people are working in the factory. But Yeah, it really depends on what the brand asks for. Mm. And in our case, we do all the sourcings of the materials, so we know also that we are using elastics without harmful chemicals, organic cotton for the fabric, etc. But yeah, I think they want to do well, and they are actually our factory sometimes is suggesting good initiatives like reusing the leftovers of the fabric from the productions of the pyjama to do lingerie bags, for example. So they are really keen to contribute to this.
That's so much more like it rather than just shove it all in a landfill, isn't it? This is the way it is. We've got to start and do this, haven't we?
Yeah, definitely.
Excellent.
Conscious consumption.
Is that right? Alana, are you seeing more and more companies like Julie's coming your way?
Yeah, I mean, I said we've got, you know, I think it's 25 to 30 different brands going to be in our marketplace on the weekend, and we're having to turn people away now because we can't fit them in. We've booked out all of our stalls. And from what I understand, you know, Google searches for sustainable fashion have doubled in the last year.
Right.
So I definitely think there's an increasing trend towards, thinking about how we spend our money in an ethical way.
Are we going to get to the point where you could actually have models walking down a catwalk dressed head to toe in sustainable clothes? So even down to, you know, layers of garments.
Yeah, absolutely. It's happening.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good. Excellent. All right. So just remind us about the event again.
So it's this Saturday, 17th of November at St Barnabas Church Mill Road, 11 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. If you want to check out the full programme, you can online at circularcambridge.org/fashion. And I should mention that if you want to hear more of Julie, we have a panel discussion happening with her and with a couple of other designers as well called Fashion the Future, which should be great.
Well, it's going to be really interesting, isn't it? Because things like this, I guess when you were starting out in fashion design, go back 20-odd years, this is probably stuff that was never even on the curriculum. So you were talking about, I'm going to design a wonderful thing, but not what's it going to be made of? And now you're having to add all that in as well. It must make it quite an interesting challenge for you as designers.
Yeah, it's a big challenge. It makes our work harder. But we're very pleased to be supported by an organisation like Cambridge Carbon Footprint, and to meet also other founders like all these brands who are going to be there on Saturday, because we can exchange good practices and help each other. It's a really very helpful community.
You feel like you're part of a community, and you feel like together you can all make a bit of a change and start us off and get this sorted. Well, it's been lovely to meet you all. So that is the Cambridge Sustainable Fashion Festival. It's this coming Saturday at St Barnabas Church on Mill Road. So what time does it start?
11 a.m.
And is it free to get in?
It is free to get in.
That sounds even better. Alana, Julie, lovely to meet you.
Thank
and
you.
If you want to catch those details, they're on the Cambridge 105 radio website, cambridge105.co.uk.